Well, amen and amen. Good grief. Everything has been great. The music, the choir, the ladies' trio, and that young lady just sang. Man, I'll tell you what, that ought to make a Presbyterian shout. Woo! That was good. I'm going to tell you something. I realize that God has given us a great day, and the music's been good. And unfortunately, now you're going to find out what it means by the foolishness of preaching. But I'll tell you, I'm glad to have this opportunity to preach over here. And I thank you people for your faithfulness. My. I'll tell you, when I come over here, I don't know nothing about this church, okay? I'm like, when you talk about ignorant, you're looking at Mr. Ignorant. I don't know your trials. I don't know your tribulations, but I know you're going through them. And I thought, well, man, I wonder if anybody will be there. And boy, things are going real good. And I know God is here. The Spirit is working. And boy, you guys are a blessing. Now, you're looking at a Baptist dinosaur. I've been saved for a long time. And unfortunately, I'm not very dignified. You know when they say you get older, you get dignified? There ain't such no thing with this old man. If anything, you can always say, you know, they say there's no fool like an old fool. You know one right now, okay? But I'll tell you, I'm glad to be saved. It's great to be saved. And I'm going to tell you something. Get excited about the things of God. Remember the songs that they sang, the importance of just one. And remember your faithfulness. I mean, boy, I'll tell you, I'm ready to preach, but I didn't know whether I should run up and down the aisles, carry on. And I thought, well, no, I better not embarrass my church. Okay, I don't want to embarrass nobody. Oh, man, we are in the wrong place, you know. But I think Baptists got to start getting with the program. Let's start rejoicing in our Savior. You know, we become a bunch of prunes, you know. We're, whoa, don't get too excited. Why not? Why not? I went to the baseball game the other night. I'll have to confess to you, I backslid. I went to a ball game. And, boy, you know, I wasn't there. I don't think I walked too far within this in the gates. I knew exactly what team people were rooting for. You know, they had the Indian Warhawk, and they had the TB. I always thank everybody. How'd you know I was coming? TB, that's my initials, Tom Brazell, you know. But I knew where they were standing, and I think it's about time that the world gets to realize and see us. When they see a Christian, they know immediately where he stands. And so, and I think when you come to the house of God, I think you have to have a good time. Now, you've been singing good. Usually, I have a theme song, and I was going to sing it, but you guys sung so good, I was going to make your people sing it. You ever sing that song, "This is the day that the Lord hath made, I rejoice and be glad in it"? You're not going to get mad at me if I make you sing that one time. That's my theme song. I want to see people get glad in the Lord. I want to see people be glad that you come to the house. Because, you know, when you hear the preaching, you ain't going to like the preaching. I can tell you that right now. But you can enjoy being in the house of the Lord. So we're going to sing it out a cappella, okay? You don't mind me being a part-time song leader. I don't care. I'm a Baptist dinosaur, but I like that song. You don't know where it is? It's Psalm 118, verse 24. I like it. For one thing, it's in the book. And I think I noticed it was even on the back there, but I sort of sing it a little bit different. You better join me, because if you don't, you're going to hear something dying up here, okay? Because I'm scriptural. Now, you know, you've heard talented people now. Now comes the ones that make a joyful noise, okay? So here we go. Let's see. This is the day that the Lord hath made, okay? This is the day. This is the day that the Lord hath made. That the Lord hath made. I will rejoice. I will rejoice and be glad in it, and be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day, this is the day that the Lord hath made. Amen. Give yourself a hand. That's not too bad for the first time and for a bunch of Presbyterians. Look. You're going to rejoice in the Lord, okay? Be happy. You're saved. God gave you another day. I mean, man, you get my age, you're glad to get out of bed anymore, you know? And boy, I'll tell you, God has been good to you. I'll tell you, I just can't get over that singing. Man. Brother Brown, Larry Brown used to always say, man, he says, after the choir sings and you hear the music, if you don't feel like preaching, you ain't called of God. Well, man, I'll tell you, I'm ready to preach. I just hope, and I got my watch, guys, so don't worry, I won't get too carried away. But I do, it's a pleasure to be here. I thank you guys for having me. You know, it's funny, when I was a young man and I wanted to preach, nobody wanted you, you know, because you're young. You know, wow, he might mess up. Now that I'm old, after you see me today, I scare people. They say, well, what? That's an old man. He's supposed to be dead. Hey, this old man ain't dead yet, okay? He's still got life. Something happened to me April 4th, 1971. That's when I met the Lord. And I'll tell you what, I came in that church a dirty and vile, lost sinner, condemned on the way to hell. But boy, I'll tell you, right around 12, 15, I think, I hit that altar and I asked God to save me. And you know what? I ain't ever got over it. You know, I'll tell you what, you're looking at a nutcase. You know, people always tell me, even my Cleveland Baptist Church, don't worry, you'll get over it. You don't get too, woo! I'm still excited. And you know, you say, Brother Tom, why you keep on screaming? I want to make sure nobody falls asleep before I preach, okay? Now with that, I want to see some smiley faces out there. It is great to be saved. Man, that girl's saying, it's worth it all! And you will get a special reward for suffering today, trust me. But it will be worth it all. Great singing. Woo! Okay, I guess I better get serious now. Okay, dignified. Put my holy halo on. If you have your Bibles today, I want you to stand and honor the God's Word. I want you to turn over to Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5. And I want us to look at, once you find it, please stand and honor God's Word, because that's probably the only thing. Whew, I'll tell you, great. I'm still excited about that singing, brother. I mean, I'll tell you, whew, I love good singing. I love good music. I got excited the moment I walked in and I saw you had North Valley Baptist Church hymn books. I thought, oh, man, I know this church knows how to sing. But I didn't realize you had so much talent here. I'm jealous. Man, any of you girls feel like traveling? I like to travel and preach, because you'll find out I only get to preach one time. They shoot me away, man. They say, whoa. But anyways, we got Matthew 5, chapter 22, or Matthew 5. We're going to look at verses 22 to 34. It says, the Word of God says this, and behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogues, Jairus by name, and when he saw him, he fell at his feet. And he besought him greatly, saying, my little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. And when she had heard of Jesus, came into the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt her body, that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned from about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touchest me? And he looked around about to see her who had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, and knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him of the truth. And he said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of that plague. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I call upon thee now. Lord, how I thank you for this day. I thank thee, Lord, for the opportunity that thou hast given me to preach thy word. Lord, I pray now that you just fill me with your spirit. I pray, Father, you give me power. I pray, Father, that you would have me to say what you would have me to say. But, Lord, most of all, I pray that you meet with us. I pray that you show up, Lord. I pray, Father, that truly that decisions will be made today that are going to be pleasing unto you. I just say this now in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. And I realize most of you are very familiar with this story. This is a story about a woman. Matter of fact, I guess if you're looking for a title, man. Matter of fact, I don't really have a fancy title. You know what my title is today? Why are you in church today? Why are you in church today? Woo! Thought provoking, you know? But you know, people come to church for funny reasons. Some it's just habit. I think sometimes Baptists are guilty of that. We got everything cut down and dry. Now, you know why I said Baptist? Because I'm a Baptist. I have to pick on Baptists. This way here, nobody could say, oh, he picked on my church. No, it's us. You know, man, when we come to church, when you come to church, I hope, number one, you came in the right way. It says, enter his house with praise and thanksgiving on your lips. Another thing you ought to expect is, guess what? God is here. You have his promise and his word. It says, where two or three are gathered together in my name, I'm in the midst. Amen. So he's here. So you got an honored guest here today. And I'm hoping that you came to worship him. I hope that you came to get something from him. Amen. You know, God wants you when you enter his house, he wants you to be a blessing to others. But he also wants to meet your needs. And I'm hoping that maybe out of this story is rather exciting because I like it. Here, this ruler, Jairus, has come to Christ and said, my daughter is dying. And Jesus is now on his way to go to raise up this daughter. However, as you read this story real fast, you'll notice that it says that as he was walking, and please forgive me, I'm not dignified here, as he's walking through the mob, people were touching him. Bible says it thronged him. In other words, their hands were all over him. It's almost like whenever you see somebody hit a home run, maybe you're on a winning team, you know, and everybody, woo-hoo, you know, and they're patting you on the back and they're hugging you and they're getting all around you. Well, this is the way it was with Jesus. He's now on his way. He's going to heal this man's daughter. And he's being thronged. The people are all around him. And yet here's a woman who's been sick for about 12 years. She's seen doctors. She's spent a lot of money trying to get healed, trying to take care of this problem. And all of a sudden, the Bible says that as Jesus is walking through here, all of a sudden, this woman touched his garment. And the moment she did that, Jesus felt virtue leave his body. But notice what he tells this woman. He says, thy faith hath made thee whole. So what I want us to look at today is, number one, you know, how many of us here in this church have victory, complete victory in our life over everything? Not one of us would raise our hands. In every facet in our Christian walk, we fail. We have a weakness. But I'm here to tell you today that today maybe you can get victory over it. I know one thing for sure. If you're here and you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, God has you here for a reason. God has sent you here. You're not here by accident. There's no accidents with God. What I want us to look at, though, is number one, this woman was a woman who would not, I better take a look at my notes because I get confused real fast. Senior moment. She had her mind made up. Whew, dummy, had her mind made up. Anyways, her mind was made up. That woman was determined she was going to get better. Can you imagine seeing a doctor for 12 years? Of course, in Florida, I can. They just don't heal you. They don't do nothing, you know. Well, take this pill, you'll feel real good. Brother, I don't want to feel real good. I want to get healed. Take care of whatever it is. But anyways, here's this woman. She's gone to this doctor. She's gone to that doctor. No results. No results. She just keeps on seeing these doctors. Nothing's happening. But what I like about this woman, she was determined. I'm going to get better. I don't know what it was. She had purpose in her heart. She was going to get better. Now you say, well, Brother Tom, what does that have to do with me? Are you going to preach I'm going to get healed? No, I'm not preaching that. I want you to see the woman's faith. I want you to see she had purpose. purpose in her heart. She was going to get better. She desired that. And you know, you might be here today, and maybe one of your first problems is, and maybe one of your first things that you, obstacle that you have to overcome is, number one, you need to learn, you got to trust Christ. You need to turn to Him and not your religion. And I got news for you. You also need to not only turn to Him, but don't keep on trusting your feelings. Now, you're looking at a guy, I'm emotional, man. I like to get excited up there about the Lord, man. I like to, matter of fact, if I wouldn't get thrown out of the churches, I'd run up and down the aisle every now and then, especially I hear good singing. Woo! I'm fired up. I'm ready to go. But feelings come and feelings go. Well, we have to start learning as we need to trust on the one who can take care of everything. And if you're here today, I'm here to tell you that there's a God who loves you. I'm here to tell you that there's a God who sent His Son to die for you. I'm here to tell you that you can leave this building a different person. Let me tell you, I know, April 4th, 1971, I got saved. And you know what? I never got over it. Now, I know the Baptist prune faces always keep on telling me I'm going to get over it. You know, don't worry, son. I'm not a son anymore. I'm an old man. But I'll tell you, God changed my life. And guess what? He can change your life. You can get victory in your life. Some of you here, maybe you've never trusted Him, but some of you are a Christian. Maybe you have a hard time reading the book. I like your bulletin, man. It says, read the book. I like that. Get in a book. You know what? You know why most Christians are so weak? You know why you run around these defeated Christians? They don't read the book. Now, they carry it in the, you know, it's funny. Oh, good grief, I forgot my sword. You know, it's funny. When we come in here on Sunday, woo-hoo, glory to God, King James all the way, hallelujah. We'll fight, we'll just get mad at people. Matter of fact, you don't have the King James Bible, I'm sorry, you ain't got a book. Okay, you don't have the book, all right? I'm not even going to be nice about that. You don't have the book, okay? When you get the King James book, God talks to you. He reveals Himself to you. And you know why we don't like reading the book? I'll tell you why we don't like to read the book, because the book tells us to do certain things. That book tells you, here's where I get in trouble. Not to forsake the assembling yourselves together, so much more as you see the day approaching. Guess what, people? God expects you to be in His house. Faithfully. What a preacher ain't there. Who cares? I mean, I get jealous when my pastor ain't there. But I ain't going there to see my pastor. I'm coming in the house of God to worship my Savior. I'm coming in, man. You know, this is the only time during the week I get to, woo, glory. I get to shout and get excited about things. God, I know that's not dignified. But listen, get excited about God. This is why our young people look at us, you know, and go, man, do I want a Savior like that? Because we're all being a Christian. Man, we can't do nothing. Oh, brother, we're suffering. We're trying to, man, it's not a job. Woo-hoo-hoo! Man, I love serving the Lord, man. Man, when He can lose a knuckle case like me, man, that makes me shout. Boy, He's got my name written in the Bible. Fool, foolish, the profound, the wise. He loves you. And when you read the book, it tells you something. One of the things is to be faithful, be church. You know why I'm telling you to be faithful in the church? Because I don't know nobody here, but I'm sure somebody's going to talk to Brother Rafi. Did I say that right? Throw a shoe at me. You know what? We sure loved the music today. It was a great day, but we won't be back tonight because my sacroiliacs acted up. You know, and my heart's not ticking the way it's supposed to. We'd love to be here, but we're going to miss. You say, we wouldn't say that, Brother Tom. Don't kid me, man. I only look stupid. I used to be a pastor, man. I'd preach a message, and people were already having their migraine headache before they even left. We can't come back. Why can't you come back? Well, we don't have our pastor then. Come on back anyways. They're not always going to have a knuckle case here. They might really have somebody scholarly. I like those PhDs. I call them glorified pitch hole diggers, okay? You know, get excited about God. Get excited about His Word. This woman had her mind made up. She was going to get something from God. And I really believe that if you have a problem in your life, whatever sin it is, whether it's smoking, drinking, cussing, whatever, drugs, our Lord can give you victory over that. And we can have victory. And the trouble with most Christians anymore, they don't have victory in their life because they don't claim the victory. Hey, doesn't your Bible say that you're freed from the bondage of sin? Amen. I mean, maybe I got the wrong translation. Forgive me, I pick on people that sit in the back and everything else. Doesn't the book say that you're freed from the bondage of sin? Doesn't the book tell you that we can do all things through Christ which strengthens me? That means I could quit my drugs. That means I could quit my drinking. That means I could get victory over pornography or whatever. I won't get on that. I'll get on that tonight. Throw everything out. Oh, no. Nobody will come. But listen, God gives us victory over it. It says we're freed from the bondage of sin. God tells us in His Word, He says, be holy for I am holy. Why aren't we a holy people? Well, God, it's too hard to do. God wouldn't tell you to live a holy life if you couldn't live a holy life. Doesn't, matter of fact, the brother, I thought he was going to get in my message there, talking about the anointing of the Spirit. Hey! You got the Holy Spirit of God dwelling within you. My Bible says I can do all things through Christ strengthens me. Everything! No more smoking, no more drinking, no more. Go down the list. I'm not going to confess all my sins before you guys. I'll be in trouble. Now listen, God will give you victory. He will change your life. He loves you, and He can change you. And one of the things that you need to do is, you know, make up your mind. God, I'm going to get victory in my life. Lord, if you're not saved, Lord, I'm going to quit playing around. You've tried every church in town. You've tried turning over a new leaf. Why don't you just turn to Christ? Just turn to Him. He's the one that loves us. He's the one that died for us. This woman had a plan. She was going to get better. I think Christians ought to have a plan. This church needs a plan. I'm telling you, and I don't mean to poke where I shouldn't be poking, because I don't know nothing. But you're going through some trials. You're going through some tribulation right now. Of course, be glad. One thing I like about tribulation, you know what? That means you're doing something for God. And you know what? Remember, you got the sword. You got the equipment. I like that. You know, I don't know if you've ever done a study of the weapons of our warfare, but you want to know something? What I like about the study of the weapons of the warfare? They're not made to retreat, brother. Go ahead. Come on, devil. You got to come. Come on. I'll fight you with the sword. Word of God's quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even dividing asunder soul and spirit, and it joints the marrow. Huh? You got the Word of God. You got the Holy Spirit. God tells us to live a holy life. Matter of fact, doesn't the Bible tell you to be a witness? Doesn't the Bible tell you you should be witnesses unto me after you receive what? The power. Not a Greek scholar, but I believe that that power is dynamo, dynas. Do you realize that dwells within you the Holy Spirit of God? Who can I pick up? Brother, don't shoot me. The moment this man got saved, Holy Spirit, whoop, he's got the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit's down there. And it's a dynamo. It's like dynamite. And man, it just wants to turn loose in his life. It just wants to go, boy. He can get victory over sin. Whew. He can be a soul winner. Whew. Man, he can understand the Word of God. Whew. Man, he's got power, power over sin, power to live a holy life. Is it his power? It's God's power. And that's why I believe that it's time we get like this woman. Make up your mind you're going to get victory in your life. Make up your mind, East. Don't throw your shoes at me if I tear this up. East Slade Baptist Church. Did I say that stupid street right? I'm telling you. Forgive me, brother. I can't speak English. I tell you. Anyways, make up in your mind. You're going to get victory. Church, only accept victory. Okay? I don't know what God has planned for you. I wish I did. But God has something special for you people, and especially for the ones who are faithful. God loves faithful people. Stay faithful, please. Don't miss your time at the house of God. Don't use for an excuse. You soul winners, I hope you got soul winners. I hope you're still knocking on doors. If you're not, shame on you. I'll park there and shoot that rabbit. I hope you invited somebody to church today. I hope you told somebody about Christ this week. Well, Brother Tom, we don't know who's going to be there, whether it's a weird preacher or not. Hey, it don't matter. Bible says to win them. Come on down to my church. Good night. You've got a good choir, man. Man, those ladies that sang, whoo. Man, you don't need no preaching here, man. We could have had altar call right then and there. I just come to mess everything up now that you did good. God, wow. You got a nice place to take them. Ain't caved in yet, okay? Come to church and expect to see God working. Hey, my God can do anything. Doesn't the Bible say that nothing's impossible with God? Okay, let's claim that faith. Why? Oh, I'll tell you, thank you, brother. Man, I hate Baptists. They're always a bunch of crying babies. I am a Baptist. Cut me open, you'll see the gigantic bee on my heart. But good night, we're all a bunch of sourpuss. Scare our kids half to death. Matter of fact, why don't you chase those kids away, man? I like seeing those young people. I like picking on the kids. Man, they're the only ones that'll put up with me, man. But I tell you, get excited. This woman had a purpose. She had a plan. She was going to change her life. She was going to get over her affliction. Also, if you notice, she had a plan. Notice, case, I better be a scholar. Look at Mark chapter 5 again, and look at verses 25 and 26. Doesn't your Bible tell you, and a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, spent all that she had nothing better, but rather grew worse. Notice, she was growing worse. And I got news for you. Your problems could get worse. But let me tell you something. You still got God to see you through. You know, the problem with most of us is when we're going through our trials and we're going through our tribulations and we're down in the valley, we don't like it. And I can guarantee you, I don't like it either. I'd much rather be on the mountaintop. I mean, like this week's been a great week, man. I'm on the mountaintop. Woo-hoo! Man, Lord, give me a couple souls this week knocking on doors. And man, and boy, you ought to see me then when I win somebody to the Lord. Matter of fact, I'll tell you what, please don't nobody get saved because I get excited. You know, I read in the book where it says there's rejoicing in heaven over one sinner. Why should they be the ones that have all the fun? Man, I can rejoice. Ah, somebody got saved. Glory to God. I know. Knucklehead, don't worry. I'm almost done. I'll make sure you get to the dinner table before the Methodists do. But I want you to see she had a plan. She had a purpose. She had a plan. You look at verse 27, she heard what? Jesus. Hey, Jesus. He can help me. Hey, Jesus is the one. Now notice, he's the one. It's not the church. It's Jesus. Jesus is the one that can change me. Jesus is the one that can give me life. Jesus is the one that can give me victory. Jesus is the one that, guess what? Jesus loves me. I just like that part because I'm not a lovable person. You hang around me long enough, you go, stay away from them. Jesus loves me. And he loves you. And he wants to do something in your life. Good grief, I'm tearing this thing apart. I hope I didn't blow his speaker out either. Okay, listen now. I don't like these newfangled things anyways, man. I'm used to yelling and screaming, preaching. You know, all us 20th century Christians now. You got a speaker system for me so they can hear me. You're going to hear me whether speaker system's working or ain't working. I'm sorry. You know, because my Bible tells me that I'm the shout. I'm a proclaimer. And let me tell you, Christ can change you. He can give you victory in your life. You want to understand your Bible? You want to enjoy your Bible reading? Come on down here and talk to the Lord about it. Say, Lord, I'm reading the Bible, but it don't make no sense to me. I'm not hearing from you. I don't know about you, but if I don't hear from God, I'm getting a little nervous. I want to hear from him. My favorite hymn is He Lives. You know why I know my Lord lives? I talked to him this morning. Man, he says, don't worry, Tom. I know you're going to be a little scared, but you just preach. God called you to preach. I called you to preach. I'll use you. Your poor excuse, but I'll use you. It says his word will not go out void. You're having a hard time in the book? Talk to the Lord about it. He's not revealing himself to you. How about prayer time? You know, David, I love David. Isn't it amazing? God calls David a man after his own heart. Now, we all know the story. Hey, he killed Goliath! We also know of his sin and shame. But isn't it amazing? His sin and his shame, God still said he's one of mine. He's special. Why was he special? Because David knew how to praise God. He was always thankful. You're going through the book of Psalms. I guess you're in 23 anyways. You're one of a psalm. The Psalms is David always praising God and thanking God. Matter of fact, when you read the Psalms, have you ever noticed David said, I will seek ye in the morning, at noon, and at night. When you pray, do you seek him at least three times during the day? Now, I know when I was working, I always had a hard time with that noon stuff, man. I used to have to go to McDonald's real fast, shove that crap down my throat, and then go pray. Because I said, Lord, I'm going to try to be like David. Man, David's a more of a scoundrel than I am. You ever notice everybody else's sins is worse than your sin? You know, he's worse than me, Lord. You talk to him. No, hey, you can talk to God. Matter of fact, we can approach his throne anytime. Aren't you glad you don't have to wait to come to church to speak to him? Aren't you glad that you can talk to him? And you say, well, Brother Tom, I pray all the time. Yeah, but do you have a good time when you're talking to him? I have a good time when I talk to the Lord, boy. Of course, I'm a professional baby. I hate to tell you, I'm the biggest crybaby in the world. Oh, Lord, what's this happening to me? Oh, Lord, I'm... But then, you know, pretty soon he says, look, knucklehead, let's get to the brass tacks. Why are you here? And then I tell him, Lord, I'm hurting. Lord, I'm scared. I don't know what's going to happen. Lord, I don't know what you want in my life. And pretty soon he starts revealing himself. And don't you ever, when you get alone with God, there's times when you don't want to leave? Man, I mean, sometimes in your prayer closet, he'll get a hold of you. I call that's when God's showing up. Because again, you thought I forgot that about that mountaintop and valley. You know, all of us, I like being on a mountaintop. Woo, glory to God, hallelujah. But you know what? Sometimes it's good to be in the valley. You people, I would say, brother, I hate to be a judge. I think you're in the valley right now. Now, you can throw your shoes out at me if you disagree. I won't get mad. It won't be the first time I was stoned. But let me tell you something. God has a plan for you. And usually when you're in the valley, this is what I like. You get to see him do something. Woo! You'll be a shouting Baptist then. Just don't tell Brother Nance that I got a little carried away today, okay? I'll probably have my church membership on the way. You'll get rid of this guy. But anyways, you get to see him working. And let me tell you, when he's working in your life, it's exciting. then he's real. We'd like to treat, you know, we make fun of the lost world, you know, the Methodists and the Presbyterians and all these, you know, they play the church game, go to church, you know, whatever. But us Baptists play the same game. Our God's not real. I bet you there's some people here praying for this church that doesn't believe that God's going to do something. You know why I know? Remember the story of the book of Acts? I better not get to it. I know it's getting close to dinner time. But in the book of Acts, remember when Peter's in jail? Here's the church. Oh, Lord, please get Peter back to us. Oh, Lord, please help him get out of jail. Oh, Lord. Well, while they're having their little hissy fit and crying and shooting the bull, Lord sends an angel into the jail house. Do you remember that story? Peter. Good thing he wasn't a 2010 Baptist, man. Peter would have resigned his commission, his calling, and quit. He was real nervous about that jail. Bible says he was sleeping. The angel comes, wakes him up. Peter, come on, you're getting out. Now, Peter is a skeptical Baptist like some of you are. He thought, I'm dreaming. This can't be happening. In the meantime, the church is still, oh, God, please do something. Bible says he come knocking on the door. A young woman, I forgot her name now, looked at the door. Peter! Now, women, sometimes they get emotional. I like that. I think she got emotional, man. She, Peter's out there. Come on. Now, us dignified Baptist deacons, pastors of the Pastoral Association, can't be him. You're seeing his ghost. They're praying he gets out. You're just nothing but a foolish young lady. Finally, Peter gets in there. Funny, they were praying, they were doing everything right. I didn't have faith that God was going to answer the prayer. So guess what, church believer? Even if you don't have the faith, you can still ask God to work a miracle. You can still ask God to intervene. You can still ask God to have his perfect will and way, because he's going to have his perfect will and way anyways. I'd much rather do it obediently than disobediently. Turn to him. Lady had a choice. She had a plan. She got excited about Jesus. Thirdly, because I got to hurry, I shot too many rabbits. I know you want to get out of here. Thirdly, she heard about Jesus. And I want you to know when you read this story that in those days, the disciples and the followers that were hugging and touching Jesus and patting him on the back and go, oh, man, he's going to raise the dead. Oh, man, he's going to do this. When this lady come, they didn't go, oh, yes, ma'am, please, go to the Savior. Yes, ma'am. She had a fight to touch Christ. Those days, women and children, they stayed at home. Matter of fact, according to the Word of God, theoretically, she was an unclean woman. She couldn't touch God. But let me tell you, she had a plan. She says, he's the only one that can change me. He's the only one. And guess what? Christ is the only one that can change you. She touched him, and because of her faith, God blessed her and saved her. And I just feel this way. I know I didn't get too deep. I just was enjoying the music so much. But let me tell you something. She got changed. I know she got changed. She got healed because the Bible says it. Her desires were honored by God. Her faith was honored by God. And believers, we need to get more faithful and more trusting of our Savior. You know, I did a study of Habakkuk. I love Habakkuk. Only three chapters. I guess that's why I like it. It makes me sound like a scholar. Habakkuk was a man of faith. I'm probably even saying his name wrong. You could tell I didn't have much education, okay? But anyways, in Habakkuk is praying to God. He's amazed at what's happening to the Jewish nation. They're backsliding. They're cold. They're indifferent to the things of God. He's crying out to God in prayer. Finally, God tells Habakkuk, he says, I'm going to answer your prayer. I'm going to send the Babylonians there to conquer you, man. Your walls are going to be knocked down. You're going to be taken captive, and you're going to be yanked out of here. Well, Habakkuk, what? They're worse than we are. You're going to use them? And I like what God told him. We all know the just shall live by faith. But God told Habakkuk, you're going to have to live by your faith. Woo! Can you live by your faith? God told him, you're going to have to live by your faith. And it's funny, you do the study, you'll find out Habakkuk sure changed his tone in his prayers. Live your faith. I'm not here to scold anyone. Matter of fact, I love everyone. I do. I love being around the brethren. I enjoyed this morning. I was around a bunch of men who prayed. Woo! I love praying, talking to God. And I love people who love God. But you know, God, you can leave here today. Not the same way you came in. You can leave here victorious. You can have a new love and a new kinship and a new walk with God. Amen. That lady had faith. I haven't even gone through my notes. I'm not even going to waste them. But I'm going to tell you, you can leave here different. If you're here and you've never trusted Christ, turn to him today. Amen. Let him do something in your life. And fellow believer, if you're here today and you're getting discouraged, or there's just something that's making you stumble, maybe you don't have that walk and that love that you once had for God. Why don't you get that settled today? Why don't you come down and talk to him? I love seeing the kneeling prayers. Talk to God. When's the last time God talked to you? When's the last time when you come to church, does God speak to you? If he doesn't, I think it's time you come down and find out why he's not speaking to you. This woman, God changed her life. You're looking at an old man. God changed my life. He can change your life. And remember this, church people. You can live by your faith. You can show your faith. God, nothing is impossible with him. Leave on fire for God, please. Fall in love with your Savior. Remember what he did for you at Calvary. Remember, not only did he die to save your soul, but I think in you was in Ephesians, it said he died for the church. Amen. This church is important. It really is. And the leadership has a lot of responsibilities right now. I thank God I never went through any of this. But I can tell you this, church people, pray for your leaders here. That God would intervene and give them wisdom and spiritual discernment. You got some hard battles ahead. But you know what? You can have victory through Christ. I don't want you to leave here defeated. I want you to leave here, it was good to be in the house of God. Amen. I want you to leave here different than when you come in. I'm hoping God's speaking to you right now. We're going to bow our heads. We're going to have a little prayer, and then we'll have an invitation. Okay? Let's bow our heads. Father, we do come before thee now, and Lord, I realize I've done this quickly, but Lord, I just believe it's time to shut up and let you take over. And Father, I pray for your people here today. Lord, how I pray, first of all, if there's anyone here who has never turned to thee as personal Lord and Savior, Father, how I pray that the Holy Spirit will draw them to your precious Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, make them have a realization they need to be saved. But then, Lord, I pray for your people. Father, it's so easy to get discouraged. The devil wants us defeated. And Lord, yet you are so merciful to us, Lord, and you'll say that you'll give us victory. Lord, help your people now to have victory in their lives. Work in their hearts and minds, and we'll give you the praise for it. And I say this in Jesus' name. Let's all stand.